Blog Talk Radio.
I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of a gentle on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
There is only one mother, and she gives herself freely. So give thanks to her. Give thanks to her. And when you have completed your visit with our mother, leave no trace. Leave no trace.
For business, featuring metaphysical and uplifting books from your favorite authors, such as Doreen Virtue, Wayne Dyer, Michael Edward Owens. We've added handcrafted one-of-a-kind jewelry, pendants, earrings, and bracelets, and now have an exclusive selection of crystals, rocks, and stones for your metaphysical toolbox. Take a look at our hand-dug Arkansas crystals, imported Brazilian crystals, Tibetan crystals, and Reiki healing stones. All of our rocks, crystals, and stones have been Reiki infused, blessed, and cleared, ready for use. You can reserve your copy of Crystal Healing 2012 and Beyond, Reverend B's new book, A Comprehensive Guide of Rocks, Crystals, and Stones for the New Age. Visit ggmradio.com and click Bookshop in the menu bar. That's ggmradio.com.
Thank you. welcome to WGGM Radio. I'm going to bring my guest here in just a second. Earlier you heard Orville Byrd, and then you heard Good Vibrations. We had some good music and some advertisement with Reverend B with her new book at WGGM, so that's exciting. Bethany Caudill and her No Shoes Blues, which she's going to be going to a competition this weekend. And I have a really cool guest from Canada who's been doing criminal investigations and putting people behind bars, and he's a very, very cool Christian guy who has just done great work with law enforcement. He's been married for 21 years to his lovely wife, and he is a visionary who enjoys writing literature like screenplays and things like that, but he's also worked with law enforcement with his gift, and he's put a lot of people behind bars that need to be there. He's written a lot of books. He's been with many magazines, which is really cool. He's been working with places in Canada and China and Italy and England and all kinds of places. He's world renowned, and he's been working with so many different magazines and newspapers and writing books and helping out people in so many ways. I'm just looking forward to talking with him. You can check him out at robbythomas.net, and you can call into our number and listen at 347-237-5339. I'm going to go ahead and bring him on. We're going to call him, and we're going to talk a little bit more about some of the things he has going on. So we're going to place a call to him and get him to come through here and get him right on the line. Are you there, Robbie? Nope, we're going to have to try him again. Something happened with his phone. We'll try to dial him up again and see if he's going to pick up the phone.
Hello.
Hey, Robbie. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's a pleasure to have you on the show. I was just looking over some of the things that you've been doing, and it looks like you've got a new book out, and you've got some really cool things going on. There's always something really exciting that you have. I was just kind of telling the listening audience a little bit about, you know, some of the things that I've seen where you've, you know, worked with law enforcement and really helped some of these people out that have been lost and all of that. So maybe you could start by telling everybody how you got into this. This is just amazing work that you're doing.
Yeah, many, many moons ago, I went through to be a police officer, not only once, but twice. I was a very young age and went back because I was too young to become an auxiliary. So then becoming a police officer in my 20s, and then from there I knew there was a different plateau or an area I had to venture down. And when I did, I started working different cases with different law enforcement, doing different shows, different people started calling. And here we are today. It's been a long road. It's been 25 years since my very first case. Plus years, and you know, I look back in hindsight of everything I've done, and you know, the accumulation of families who I continue to speak to, and looking, and today, like just today alone, is a memory of Victoria Stafford, who was murdered in Woodstock, Ontario. And I put a thing on my Facebook where it was like a share for a memory from years ago, and today is the day that Michael Rafferty. Today or yesterday, this week here, Michael Rafferty was found guilty of murdering Victoria Stafford, and we went down to the final balloon release for the family. You mentioned I have a book. Yeah, it's when it's children, it's very touching. You know, any case is touching, and looking back at everything, and talking last week with the Stafford family themselves. They know of my new book that's coming out. It's a tool. It's a working tool for other families who have nowhere to turn and don't know what to do about human trafficking, about the many cases I've been involved where police have endorsed and police reports are going to be in their book. the emails that go back and forth between the police and my office will be in the book. You know, there's a lot of people out there who doubted and doubt a lot of things, so we're putting all the proof forward, so there will be no doubt. And the letters from the families themselves who support this. It's taken a long time to put it together, but it's going to be, like I say, a good tool for all families out there who have nowhere to turn.
Right. Well, see, it's important for somebody to have somewhere to turn when they're looking for, you know, help and they don't know where to go. And just, you know, what I've seen that is just beautiful is, you know, you've put it together and helped a lot of families that have been lost and all of that over the years. And I think that's just beautiful. You know, you turned a beautiful gift, you know, that is helping, you know, community and helping people into something where, you know, if someone needs something resolved, you know, you're right there to help them. And you're right there to put the pieces together, because a lot of families are lost and they want to know, you know, what happened and why and what caused it. And I know that, you know, working with law enforcement and working with a lot of those cases is just amazing. I mean, I've worked a few myself, and even before I got into that, I was working, you know, with a classroom full of people, and a lady was having us do, you know, an investigation as part of her, you know, development class in psychic work. And you guys are actually friends on Facebook. That's how I first, you know, sort of learned about you and thought, wow, what a really nice guy and what a lot of neat work he does. I would love to talk to him about what inspired you to get started and how you got there and, you know, even where you began when you first knew about it, because what I was seeing online was so touching and amazing that I thought, wow, I really want to talk to this guy.
You know, everything transpires through spirit and God, and I owe everything to God for, you know, just the day that I'm given. My family is my stronghold. My wife, I'm involved in a case, well, several cases right now, one in Maryland, Atlanta, and Los Angeles. And the one in Los Angeles, yesterday, we came across a spine-chilling part of the case that has really opened up now. The vision that I've sent down to the individuals, it was a rock star. His wife was murdered many years ago. And
oh, wow.
I gave the information, and they did find the secret passage. They did find the dark hallway. They did find the door that opened up to where her body was. So now this is just breaking as of last night. And this morning we were up going over details and, you know, without me going into further of everything else. There's a lot that stipulates in this case. You know, looking at every family, I hold them all in prestige. Every case, every family dear to me. You know, there's a lady in Maryland. Her daughter's been missing, and we know who did it. We're trying to locate the body. You know, we're very close, and you know, we come to learn in Atlanta. There was two different separate homicides down there in one location, and for years she thought that it was one individual, and we did a little research, and I asked her to go and talk to the detective because I feel there's something in the case that's been misinformed, and she did. I asked for a DNA makeup, and because it'll tell you if it's Caucasian, Hispanic, a black individual, or what genetic makeup you are. And then she found out after all these years that it wasn't an individual who they were looking at. It was a totally different individual. The cases don't match. So now we're reopening and trying to establish something there as a foothold that leads into another case. Yeah, it's very deep. I get involved right with law enforcement. I'm working with a retired chief of police, Martha Decker. And she's very strong individual, knows everything. She did the child investigations for years. And, you know, I work with different law enforcement. Finished a case with Andy DeLay from Florida. We did a case in Kentucky. That'll be in the book, and his letter and also his police report. And then the police report for Paige Bergfeld, a very high-profile case out of Colorado, and Sergeant Detective Cliff Christ, who asked me to come aboard and do that a couple years ago. His report's going to be in there, especially how we found the details where her body was and how she died, and the exact guy who did the murder, who's arrested now.
Right.
Very, very intricate cases. And to get involved in this, it takes a lot out of your life. You have to devote your majority of your life to doing this, and you become one with the police, and you go over all the investigative reports. And like behind me right now, I got depositions that are about 2 or 3 inches thick, and I got about 4 of them on my desk behind me here. Tons of information, and you pore over it, and you seek out what you've already envisioned to match, and so that you have that confirmation. So it's very detailed work I get into.
That's wonderful. I mean, you know, to have a dedication, and, you know, you must have known when you came into the world, maybe not right away, but you must have known that you were going to do some type of work like that, even at a young age, to devote your heart and your time, which is, you know, it speaks volumes, you know, for someone that really cares about a family and sits with a family, you know, to, you know, empathize with the family, because it is hard and it is, you know, really rough. I know, just from, you know, seeing other things, and it's a lot of work, but I know that you were probably called to it. You probably had a calling right away when you were younger.
Yeah. The funny thing about younger is, I wanted to be a priest, and,
oh,
you
wow.
know, looking back at, yeah, I always wanted to be a priest at a very young age, 7, 6 years of age, and then discovered girls at age 16, and then I wanted to be a cop. So I figured, well, you know, the best thing to do is I want to be a law enforcement. And at age 17, I went through the rigorous testing of being a police officer, and I looked like I was 20, 21 at age 17, mm-hmm. the mustache and the whole nine yards. And I remember beating out all those poor guys who tested for those days to go to become an auxiliary or get chosen. And I remember sitting in the chief's office, and there was 3 of us, and he looked at the paper and had a little giggle, and he laughed, and he said, "Son, you have to be 20. And I was only 17. And you know, that was my very first hire and fire as a police officer, all in one day. It was quite comical.
Wow. Wow, that is just... And, you know, you finally got there. I mean, even though you were at a young age, I know you finally got to the point where you could do this work and, you know, work with people. And probably even the first time you did it, it felt very rewarding just to know that you could bring peace to people. I know it's also very emotional and very draining. I can only imagine, you know, the feelings that you pick up and, you know, the emotions that come along with it, but I would imagine it feels rewarding to bring some peace to the families too, because that's always, you know, comforting when you can do that.
Yeah, you know, it's where you sit with the families and you're not the stranger. There's a quote my wife used before, and I often speak of it. It's called the perfect stranger. And, you know, it's not where I'm the stranger. You become one with that family. And as you're speaking, I'm thinking of the Stafford family, because this being the anniversary of him being found guilty 4 years ago. And, you know, and I remember being with them in their home, going to the police station, talking to Detective Brown, showing, you know, my drawings and sketches. And I sent them down there prior to me even leaving my hometown to Woodstock, and showing the tree line and where I seen her body, where she would be. And, you know, and everybody wants to know, you know, what happened and if she was still alive. And I remember going on this one radio show, and the individual was so pressing, wanting to know so he could just put on his airwaves that, you know, if what I had. So I didn't want to give anything away. And I said, yeah, she's alive. But, you know, you can't tell what goes on behind the doors to somebody who's just a radio personality who thinks that, you know, I'm just going to blob this out. And it was a long, long process of many days. So then, you know, you look back and in hindsight and everything that's coming out, like I said, this book's coming out, it's all tell-all, it's right down, it's their letters, it's their emails, it's the storyline that I give and the police reports. So there's nothing in hiding, it's all there right in front of everybody's eyes so they can see. It comes to the point where you want the truth out. You're tired of all the innuendos. You're tired of all the negativity of people who assume what they think they know, but they're not behind the closed doors. They don't put in the hours. They don't see the photos, or they don't go on death scenes like I do, and they don't do these horrific things that you know you see. You do it for family. You do it for love. You do it for them. They ask for it. They got nowhere to turn. So you do this. And I'm hoping that when this book does come out, it'll have a lot of detail in it, which will help other families to see the precursors or, you know, to know enough to intervene with their child online and you know, and stop that moment from happening. And it's always nice to have that for families so that they can see. And it's not to use these other families' examples because they've already all agreed that this would be perfect for other families to help them. That's what it's about. It's for the love of family.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I know it's very emotional and very draining and also very people don't know. They don't realize that when you walk through something like that, I do because I have actually seen it. I've talked with individuals. You know, there's a lot of pain that goes into seeing that. There's a lot of emotions. They could be anger, sadness, frustration, upsets for, you know, the families and what happened, you know, upsets for, you know, the person who, you know, is murdered or the crime or, you know, a missing child, anything, you know, any of those categories, a missing child, a kidnapped child, a murder, you know, trying to find somebody's body, figuring out how they were, you know, harmed. I mean, there's many cases of how they were harmed, blood and guts and seeing those things and feeling, you know, people don't realize how much, you know, detail you really get into when you're walking that, Robbie, you know, because when you walk in there, it's like a nightmare. But I mean, you know, you're helping families and you're helping people to find an answer. They want to know why. They want to know how. They want to know who did it. They're frustrated. No matter what kind of a crime or case it is, you know, a victim that you're dealing with, they want to know. And then you go through, you know, the pain and agony of feeling these people's feelings and emotions and pain and putting together details and clues. You know, it's all about facts, but it's also about, you know, the empathy and feelings. And it's very hard when people assume that, you know, well, oh, it's probably easy, or they assume they know what they're talking about when really they have no idea.
Yeah, you know, and then you get individuals who, you know, want to say their piece and what have you, and that's granted because then they just turn the other people to come take a look at what had actually been done and the letters from the police officers and the endorsements and the letters from the families, and they're all there. You know, there was a little boy in Kentucky who was murdered, and this goes back to 2007-ish. And I got his name. I got the murderer's name. I got where the body was. I got the location of the murderer's home and all the drawings that went forward and all the emails that went back and forth to the police station and also to the major news media that was down in Louisville. I'm sorry?
I said, yeah, that's a lot of details.
Yeah, and, you know, and then in looking where all the information went and then having the lead activist from Louisville who worked very close at hand with the police and come on the news and say, yeah, every detail that he sent was used and was said on the news. And, you know, we got him. He's in prison for life now. Cecil Eugene New. You know, all the cases that I do, they're on my website, and there's certain letters from either investigators or families. They're all there. People can read them. It's moving. It's very touching at times, and when things do finish and you get that moment of, I wouldn't call it elation, I would call it more of a reprieve, something where, okay, I can take a deep breath now knowing that this is over, but there's no satisfaction because you can't bring that baby back and you can't bring that mother or father back. It's just that you know that in due course, they're going to find some closure here and you've done what they've asked.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't change the outcome that happens, and it doesn't bring anybody back, or it doesn't, you know, do anything. The only thing it really does is bring closure, and that's a lot of facts that you are, you know, bringing in and looking at and working with, and, you know, the news is working with it too, and that's what you're doing. You're bringing peace to a family any way that you possibly can.
Yeah, you got, when, you know, I find it where they come to you with an outstretched hand and you just can't say no. You know, I've had this discussion with my wife for many years, and you just can't say no. You have to continue on that track of finding, even if it's the littlest thing, you clue, you know, direction, something for them. And again, I'll revert back to last night, you know, being a little bit tired going over all this film footage that we've seen from LA yesterday and pouring myself into it until late last night and then early morning this morning. You know, seeing what put on film and being almost 3,000 miles away is exactly what I described and put on paper, and they found it. And it was a long course of going down through one door, through another door, down a corridor, all the way straight downstairs, into another one, into another room that led to the finally the door. And we're talking quite the distance. And when they popped that door open, it was like 5 feet from that door, exactly where her body was laid. Now we have the premise, we have the motive, we have what direction they took. We're piecing it together, and that's what a criminal profiler does. They give the pieces of the puzzle, they piece it together, they see the opening, they see how it all comes together like that, and it flows. Now the timeline comes in. Who's involved, where they were, how we can place them, the DNA, that type of thing is all police work. The substantial evidence, if you will, we'll call it, has already been given, and now we know where it all took place and how it happened and where they went. This will be a huge opening to this case, a huge breakthrough. You know, in talking to the husband, he was very, you know, distraught, like, from finding out this, and he's got, in his words, is bone chilling to find out that this all finally came forward. That's what it's about, and it's about,
yeah,
giving that, helping him. That's what it's about.
That's just, you know, that's what you do to solve a case and find the answers and find, you know, what you need to, you know, use. And that takes a lot of work. I'm sure you have cases that really stand out to you and individuals that stand out to you too, and families that are just so thankful that you were there and, you know, really took the time for them when nobody else would.
There's one case that I just actually looking at it right now on my site. I titled it, you know, it's in her words, the mother. It's the mother's worst nightmare, and human trafficking. I've done quite a few cases in human trafficking. This one here, we brought the daughter home, and in her words, and she puts in capitals, alive. She followed me since the mid-late 90s. And she called me one day and said, I thought I'd never have to do this and never have to use you. And she said, but I'm in an awkward way and the detectives have nowhere else to turn. So I suggested you, and she called me and we talked. And we went through a lot of the motions, and I just felt that they were watching her social media very closely. And I said, you're going to have to put this statement out there. in order to get it. She wouldn't. She's very conservative. Her family are very conservative. And I said, you have to put this down in order for them to see this and to have your daughter released and your daughter to see this so that she would get away from them. And she said, no, no, no. And it got a little heated. She hung up and we didn't get anywhere. She called back and she called back and she realized that regardless of what family, friends, and what people think, you have to do what is right for you and your family. So she did. She put that statement up on a Friday, and on Sunday she had her daughter back. The letter's on the page. People can read it. That's her wording. I'm just thankful for her and her daughter, and she spoke to me a few more times, and this will be one story that's in the book, too, that'll be more elaborated on. People can, you know, look forward to that. But this is a good outcome.
Well, you always like those good outcomes. I know it doesn't always come out that way, but those are the wonderful cases when you can say, well, they're alive, or, you know, I did the best that I could, you know, with bringing details and peace. And that's just a very great situation that she was able to put that info out there and you were able to help her. And you've probably had more cases like that too. And what I love is that, you know, these people that are out here, I mean, you know, they're victims and they're scared, and they have these people that, you know, are running wild that are murderers, or somebody broke in somewhere, or somebody, you know, that needs to be behind bars needs to, you know, be there, you know, because of a murder or because of a, you know, anything. And you've been able to, you know, bring justice there where, you know, these people that were, you know, harmed or they're scared feel an instance of, you know, peace too when the person is behind bars for the things that they did that, you know, were not right, you know, like going out there and harming people that, you know, are in their families and then they're scared to death for their life. You know, that's huge.
Yeah, you have to put into perspective the people who are the victims, and you got to treat that very, very tenderly. You look at the point where, like you say, break-ins, and I remember being at a convention a long time ago, and a lady says to me, her house was broken into, and they stole practically everything in her house, and we don't know who it is. And would you help? And I did. I gave the description of who it was and a name and what have you. And sure enough, they wrote me a letter, and it's been posted there as well. They caught the individual, and he's behind bars for doing what he did. You know, that's just break and enter. And, you know, you still treat the people with the most respect because they're a victim.
Yeah, that's very true. And, you know, I think it's just good that you were able to help that person who says, you know, I'm really, really afraid. I don't know what's going on. I need some help. You know, that really helps that individual. You know, I had a friend who was working at a store, like a storefront retail, and she got off work and her car had been stolen. She thought her car was still in the parking lot, small town. She didn't think that, you know, anybody would run off with it, but they did. You know, she was a victim of that, and that was scary because he knew her address and everything. And that's just one of those that when you get the victim, when you get the person who's committed the crime, the victim feels, you know, at ease. And this was just something that had randomly happened in a small town, you know, and, you know, there are worse things than that. People, you know, get into murders and, you know, kidnapping of kids. You know, you hear about those all the time. And when, you know, there's peace and the child isn't murdered, that's great. But, you know, it doesn't happen in all cases.
No, it doesn't. And, you know, the worst thing is to tell a mother when she says to you, and you know, often like Victoria Stafford's case or Brandon Sands' case and some other ones. I bring my wife, and she comes with me. We speak as like we're driving and going to certain places during the case, like to get to the cases. And the mom asked me, you know, is my boy alive? and you can't sugarcoat anything. And when I say no, I don't feel him alive. He's passed on. I know I'm going to break that mother's heart, but you can't lie to her. And so I said that, and it was devastating. We take a trip down to the city where the individual was missing, and I'm getting text messages. And I keep all my emails and all my text messages from all families so that if ever to need to be looked back upon as not just only proof, but if the police want to look at them, they can have them. But we were driving, and Spirit led me to this one area, and I pull over off the road, and I park my car, and she snapshot to me on my phone, and it was a home, and the house was the drug house he was last seen at. Now, he was caught up in the wrong place at the wrong time. This boy had his whole life ahead of him. He was going to university. He was going to be something with his life, do something with his life. And he was at the wrong place, and it was Christmas time. And he helped people move from one house to this house. So we were sitting in the car, and I look up, and just across the street from where I parked, right adjacent, directly in front of my car, was that house that she snapshot and sent me. So Spirit sent me there before she sent the picture. My wife and I were just amazed at what took place. And then so I knew he was in a body of water. And I drove down the street, seen the mail lady, and I asked her, and she said, you turn right up here and you turn left immediately, and there's a boat ramp right there. So while I'm talking to his aunt on the phone, we get to the boat ramp, and I look in the water, and I can sense that he's in the water. So she asked me, and then the OPP, which is the Ontario Provincial Police, did a drone flyover, which was a YouTube video they put out, where they flew over that area. And when you pass, your heart does not pump your blood anymore. And obviously you're not going to have heat from your body. You're going to be cold. And he's been in the water for some time. So this heat-seeking camera they were taking shots would show him from the drone. I found that kind of odd that they would do that. But they put divers in the water and they just missed him. Spring came along and the body bloats. So when he bloated up a few hundred feet down from where I said, and the current of that small river drove him down, and then saying like it was only a few hundred feet, which is not much, he surfaced and he was in the water exactly where he was. You know, I look back and what I said to the mom, I still haven't been able to talk to the mother. I know that it's hurting her. Like, who wants to talk to the person who gave bad news? But you look at the fact of that, and what gets me too is I'm going to have hit on the other side of this. You know, there's people out there who think they're psychic, who think that they can do this. And one lady rented two buses, brought two busloads of people searching for this young man in fields and led the police and everybody in the wrong direction and took up a lot of time. You know, it's all in the good of wanting to do that. But, you know, it's not the first time I've been brought on a case where there's been misleading like this. And, you know, I see people, there's intuition and there's certain people who have a lot of ability that I know of. There's people out there who are very, very good. And I just find that if you don't know and you're not sure, you shouldn't say things because then it only makes things even worse for the family. And in this case, that's what happened. But in closure, we got his body. He's, you know, they had the burial. And it's still today, because of this, it's hard to get DNA off of a body that's been in the water for that some time, and it's still an open case. The damning part of it would be where her husband, the aunt, he's a police officer. He was out of his jurisdiction, and they found the other home, and there was blood in that home, but it got covered up quickly because they painted the walls, they painted over everything and cleaned it all up. And, you know, it's something. It's when you get involved in cases like that deep, you know, and it's hard when you say, I know that these people did it, and it's very difficult.
Yeah, and it's hard because you're just having to put that out there and, you know, really let them know, I know this happened, I know this is what the case is. It's very, very hard, and I'm sure very emotional even for you to, you know, step into that and say, I know what happened. I know who did it. I know where it is, you know. And I agree with you. There, everybody has a speck of intuition or a gift. You know, God gave us all the ability to do some of it. It's just, you know, how we want to use it and, you know, learning about it before you say, well, you know something when you don't know it. If you don't know it, say you don't know it. You know, admit, I don't know, you know, or I'm not getting anything. You know, that's what I was always taught, you know, just in, you know, what I knew I have and what I work with. But it's the same thing. If you don't get anything, it's better to be upfront and honest than to, you know, lead somebody on a wild goose chase. That's not going to help anybody.
No, absolutely. Again, it comes into perspective of, you know, it could be tomorrow, it could be you. And, you know, God could say, okay, it's enough. I'm not showing you any more of this, Rob. And we're going to, you know, it's Amanda's turn. Or Spirit could reach out to John down the street and John could have the message given to him. It's, you know, certain people are catalysts in life and some are just really, truly open to it. You know, it's just the way it is. It's, I have no other explanation because it comes so freely. And again, I'll revert back to because I've been working on it really diligently here for the last little while as a case in L.A. And everything came to perspective. We seen it on video last night, and that's why I'm saying we're so taken back. We watched it 100 times, and it was exactly what was described and written down. And nobody knew of this hidden passage, and we found it. And it's just amazing, you know, it's Spirit leading you that way. It's telling you, you know, in perspective, what timeline of events will follow, and that's what they release to individuals.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it could be somebody that you would never, ever expect would be doing the case. I anymore just say, okay, that was supposed to happen, you know. When you think, oh, no, that could never happen, and then it does happen, you know, that is just amazing. And anybody could have the gift to tell whomever, you know, where something is or what's going on or what's ahead. Like you said, John down the street, you, me, whatever, you know, it's whoever is meant to do that, you know, God places in that situation to give that information. You know, I know some people walk around, they go, oh, I don't want to know anything bad. Oh, I'm scared. It's about solving, it's about problem solving, working together, coming together as family, supporting one another, you know, and being open and happy for those that are out there helping, you know, such as yourself and others that, you know, we're all working together to try to make the world a much better, happier, more positive, peaceful place. I mean, there's some pretty, you know, not so nice things going on out there right now. And to know that there are people out there like you doing the amazing things that you do and others is huge. It's about coming together out of love and, you know, resolving that and making the world a better place and not, you know, going, well, you know, we don't know what we're doing. You know, step forward and help where you can, but don't say, I know something if you don't know. Just go, well, I don't know. I'm not getting anything. And God will move on to the right person who's supposed to be that catalyst and that speaker. I really believe that.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's respect for life in every regard. You know, be you whatever faith you may be or if you don't believe. It's just respect for life in general. It's that moment you have with Spirit that you become acquainted with and you're at peace. And I'm at peace with it because, you know, there isn't a day go by that I you know, I must admit, I don't get it. I get a little excited when I want to help somebody. And sure, when you jump into a case and you see it all laid out before you and you try to explain it and you give them all the information, they don't understand until they do see it unfold before them. And then they go, oh, my gosh. And then everything just starts to roll and it gets there. You know, it's the help. It's the love. It's respect. And it's all about the human life. I remember when we were filming and sitting down, it was America's Most Wanted, film me in a pilot shoot that for my new show that was, it's actually being pitched again. They're getting a second chance to pitch it and look at it. There's Bill was the head filmographer for America's Most Wanted for, I think, 289 shoots. His crew was there, and, you know, you said in law enforcement, they do know exactly certain people who do this and this type of work, and they reach out, and he goes, John, he knows about your work. And I thought, well, that was pretty terrific. Like, I mean, I'm overwhelmed that anybody would know in that aspect, you know, being where he does. And we were doing this case, and they followed him. They were, you could see them behind the camera. They were just not filming the case. They were living it. And you could see once in a while, he would pop his head out from behind this camera, and the other cameraman too, because he couldn't believe what was taking place. And they were living it, and they were following, seeing the evidence come forward. Just, you couldn't pull it out of a hat. You know, it was amazing. Spirit does that. And again, and I keep telling people, it's not me. It's where it comes through. It'll just come through. And it's amazing to me myself, you know, to see this happen. And then you look at everybody who's there, who's involved, and they're there for the one common cause, and that's to help and to share the love for the family that's in need.
It's a very big need and a very huge one. And when you are open, that's great. You know, sometimes people are scared to be open. You know, it freaks them out or scares them. And I say, well, if it comes from God, which this does, you know, with my background, I'm kind of the same way. It's like, you know, you roll with it. You have these senses and these abilities that, you know, you were given, like the five senses were all given, but some of them are heightened. Use them, you know, for that purpose and utilize them. And don't be afraid to, you know, let God speak to you and show you, you know, the things that, you know, you're meant to see, and thank the divine for the help that's given. And you're right, it's not us. We're just the vessel to it. The real big help is when you're open to, you know, that divine, when you're open to, you know, the love and support and sending out prayers and coming forward. And when you combine all that together, so many amazing things happen that cannot be explained, that, you know, should never try to be explained. And that is amazing when you can say, I'm open to that and I want that to come through me so I can help people. And that's just really awesome that you do that.
Well, you know, I, as you were talking, I just remember what the family was saying. They said, you know, you have to listen to Laura. You have to listen to her. And I'm sitting there in January listening. And I said, you know, I'm very patient, and in time, this will all unravel, we will see. And so I gave so much information over the whole course of this time that now, last night, it came to a head, like I was explaining, and it just, there it was. It just in front of everybody's eyes. And, you know, it is the course of how they want to show you and how they want to break it down. You know, life here is only, you know, we think it's 80 years, 90 years. It's only a blink of an eye in heaven, you know, on the other side. It's only a blink of an eye. It's only minutes. So for them to show this over this course of time, it was like, wow, since January till now, and all this, we've pieced it together, and it's all there right in front of us. It's amazing. So, you know, some cases are like that. And then you look at the one I explained about the little boy in Louisville, Kentucky. It was within an hour and a half. I had the murderer's name, where he lived, you know, the location of the body. It happens like that quick. And, you know, even before, like I'm looking at her picture right now, Victoria, before she went missing, I was shown a little girl going into a tree line 2 days before she was missing. So I explained that to my wife, and I remember her saying, oh, no, not another one, because they're you know, dealing with children. And she asked questions, and I can't remember all the specific questions we were talking about. But sure enough, 2 days later, this little girl goes missing. I draw my pictures up. I contact the family, and then, you know, as the story went down and sat with the detectives and with the family for days. And sure enough, she was found. And the trial's over, and two people are in jail for life. And, you know, that's just the way spirit works.
Yeah. That's just really huge that You know, and it pieces itself when the information is ready to be given. You know, you just get these things as they are, you know, revealed when the timing is absolutely right. People are like, oh, don't you get it all now? Sometimes it can happen over a course of time where you need some time to, you know, really get all the details together and know what you're looking for or what you're looking at just by, you know, the messages that you get. You know, when you ask, you know, clarify, show me exactly what you're talking about, because I've had all kinds of people say, well, how do I work with this if I just get one piece of it or I just get a little bit? And, you know, you ask for more details and you wait and you let it come and you just are an open vessel. You have to say, I'm open to, you know, God showing me what I need to be shown. Show me how to help these people. And, you know, that door will open, you know, if it's the will for it to happen. So I just think that's beautiful how wonderfully you have put things together and helped so many individuals and worked with officers and put everything together.
Yeah, you know, I got to say this. Thank God for the boys and the girls in the Blue Line. They work diligently. They really do. People come down hard on police officers, but you know what? There's a lot of people out there who are not nice people. You know, let's admit, let's call a spade and see how it is. You know, they work hard and they have families too. And they put up with all these stresses and all these things on the Blue Line. When they go out there, they put their lives on the line. And, you know, my hat's off to them. They do work diligently for peace in society. They do.
Oh, yeah, they do. And there are some that, you know, just like nurses are not always compassionate and kind. You know, we can go there. Police officers aren't, and some dentists aren't, and all kinds of people aren't sometimes because we all have our days. You know, even officers, people can be afraid of them. I always love it when people say, well, the officers are cool, you know, they did a good job, awesome, they work together and we all work together and it's peaceful, you know, but you just have to kind of really put it out there that it's a good, loving moment with all kinds of support and, you know, things get done. So it is important to remember that these people are out there risking their lives, doing amazing things, and you know, everybody that can chip in and help out along to support that, that's what matters.
Exactly. You know, everybody has a bad day. Every profession, you're going to have bad people in it, regardless. Yeah, it's just the way of life. And we as a society should know better and know different. You know, and again, looking and just looking over these cases and what have you, the most important thing I could tell families is for children, I know we say we're involved in our children's lives and what have you, but there's that social media background and you know, we give them their space. There's a lot on social media. We have to watch out for perpetrators and pedophiles and people out there who are just nasty. We have to be alert and use the village. You know, I'm not going to say, you know, it takes a village to raise a child. It most certainly does. So we have to be, I remember those old days, you know, how they had the block parent signs in the window and, you know, if you were in trouble, your child could run up to that house and people would, you know, help that child out. We need that more. We need that again. We need that to happen.
Yes, we do.
You know, it's not very prevalent out there anymore, but it should happen. And our neighbors should get closer and know one another more than, you know, they do and talk about these things. These are things that should be brought out to the forefront. And, you know, I work with a great chief of police now. And also, you know, I'm talking with the Mothers on Human Trafficking. She's the CEO and founder of MATH, Mothers Against Trafficking Humans. And her daughter was taken, you know. You look at the people you touch and you talk to and you help out as much as possible. And we need this. And this is a discussion that should go further beyond just the dinner table with your wife or your boyfriend or what have you. It should go to all family members and stretch it out.
Absolutely. I absolutely agree. So if people want to find you or, you know, they want to get say some help with anything or find your book and anything like that, how would they find you?
RobbieThomas.net, and on my site there's tabs at the top, and this will be my 10th book coming out. It'll be out shortly. I'm still getting letters from families and police reports sent to me, so I can have to put them into the book. It'll be out shortly this year. And RobbieThomas.net, that's where everybody can find out everything about me, all the cases, letters from families and what I do and what I'm about. And I look forward to speaking to people.
Nice. That's very wonderful. I want to thank you for your time, for coming on and letting everybody know what you do, and sharing with everybody some of the things that are going on and talking about your book. I also want to thank you for all the hard work that you do. You know, you're a great light to people, and, you know, God put you here for great things, and it's been an honor to speak with you, and I hope to, you know, work with you some more and do some interviews with you in the future, because you're just very wonderful to talk to.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate my time on your show.
Yes, I appreciate your time as well. I know you get busy with things and stuff like that, but I appreciate you taking the time to, you know, come out, you know, from my heart to yours. I just really appreciate the job you do, you know, that your wife is there and your beautiful family. You know, thank God for somebody like you being out there, you know, and I look forward to more interviews and talks with you, and I look forward to seeing your book too. It's going to be really great.
Great. Thank you so much.
All right. I look forward to having you on again. Thank you. You have a wonderful day.
You too, Amanda. Thank you again. God bless.
All right, thank you. You've been listening to WGGM Radio. My guest was Robbie Thomas. You can find him at RobbieThomas.net. We will see you next week at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time on GGM Radio, and Robbie will be with us again, I'm sure, real soon. Thank you, everybody, for listening. See you next week.
One for the money, two for the show, three to get ready, now go, cat, go, but don't you step on my bootleg shoes. You can do anything to stay off my bootleg shoes. You can knock me down, step on my face, slap my name all over the place. Do anything that you want to do, honey, lay off of those shoes, now don't you step on my bootleg shoes. Well, you can do anything, lay off my face. Let's go, cat. I'll walk the dog. You can burn my house, steal my car, drink my liquor from an old fruit jar. Anything that you wanna do, but honey, lay off of those shoes, now don't shoot. Step on my bootleg shoes. You can do anything, but lay off of my bootleg shoes. I rock it. Woo, yeah. It's one for the money, two for the show. Rolling around the bend, I ain't seen the sunshine since. I don't know where. Well, I'm stuck in Folsom Prison. Time keeps dragging on, but that train keeps rolling on down to San Antonio. When I was just a baby, my mama told me, son, always be a good boy, don't ever play with guns. But I shot a man in Reno. Just watch him die. When I hear the whistle blowing, I hang my head and cry. Oh, play that guitar. Do it. I bet there's rich folks eating from the fancy dining car. They're probably drinking coffee and smoking big cigars. Well, I know I had it coming. I know I can't be free. But those people keep them moving, and that's what tortures me. From this prison, if the railroad train was mine, bet I'd move it on a little farther down the line. Far from Folsom Prison, that's where I want to stay. And I'd let the lonesome whistle blow my blues away.
Human, there's a thought, now you decide. Compassion in the jungle, compassion.